Okay, good vach everybody, Shavua Tov. Nice to see everybody. Happy Chanukah. Parshas Vayeshev is a parsha that requires a lot of time, analysis, thought. So much to talk about. Parshas Vayeshev typically almost always falls out during Chanukah, so certainly there's a lot to talk about in that respect. But I'd like to do something else this morning and really take a look at the life and times of Yosef in Parshas Vayeshev. Because what I think I'll show you this morning is that Yosef specifically is able to really emerge from a young boy, a lad, an adolescent, a kid, into an adult pretty quickly. And I'd like to share with you what I think is a very interesting development of Yosef. And if you open up to the opening psukim in Parshas Vayeshev, really in the second pasuk in the entire parsha, I think there's a very critical word that's used, and I like to focus in on that word in terms of following Yosef throughout Parshas Vayeshev. So the Torah opens up Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Miguri Aviv Beretz Canaan. So Yaakov is settled in the land of his fathers in Eretz Canaan. Really, Yaakov is not going to be the focus of Parshas Vayeshev, but it's rather Yosef who's going to be the focus. And here, Pasuk Beis tells us, Ela toldos Yaakov. These are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef ben Shva Esrei Shana, haya roe es Echov Batzon, v'hunar es b'nei Bilpa, v'es b'nei Zilpa neshe Aviv, v'yave Yosef es dibasam ra'a el Avihem. So that's just one pasuk, but there's a lot of information in that one pasuk, and I'd like to take a look at one specific word, and then another item in this pasuk, which really reveals a lot about Yosef. Now note, by the way, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in this year, Ela toldos Yaakov, these are the generations, the offspring of Yaakov, and who do we talk about? Yosef, right? We don't talk about Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Asher. Yosef only is the focus of this pasuk, and Yosef's age is given. And that, I think, is critical. Yosef in Shva Esrei Shana, Yosef is 17 years old. Hayaroes Echa Betzon, he's a shepherd taking care of the flock. Vuhunar, and he's a lad. So this, I think, is also critical. And it's this word that I really want to take a closer look at. Vuhunar. Nar means a child, a lad, an adolescent, a teenager. We're dealing with a 17-year-old boy. It's Yosef. Now, as we'll see in a moment in Pasuk Gimel, V'Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol banav. Yaakov loved Yosef. He was the apple of his eye. He was the ben zikunim. He was the child of his older age. V'asalokson es pasim, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Gimel, he had a special coat that was made for him. So here the Torah goes to great length in a lot of different ways to describe to us really the personality, the age, and the surroundings of Yosef. Yosef is, number one, a 17-year-old boy. He's a nar, he's a lad, he's a child, he's a kid. And more than that, his father loves him. And his father is really focused on him as this special, unique child. But the word nar, the word lad, is the word that I like to take a closer look at. And really, Rashi already tells us something special about what it means, nar. And Rashi tells us, what does this word nar mean? Besides just meaning that he's an adolescent, a kid, a teenager. What does it mean? Shaya osem maisen narus. He acted like a teenager. He acted like a child. He acted like an adolescent. What did he do? Misakin bisaro. He played with his hair. He combed his hair. He took care of himself. He groomed himself. That was important to him. Right? A 17-year-old boy. His looks made a difference. The way his hair was combed. Straight, apart, I don't know. Whatever it was, that was something that was critical to Yosef. Mimash mesh be'enav. He was checking his eyes. He would make sure that his eyes were settled okay. That he looked good. Kidei she'enira yafe. In order that he would look nice. It was very important to Yosef that he looked good. He was a teenager. That's what he was focused on. That's who he was. But it's more than that. Because the Torah goes on and tells us, not only is he 17, not only is he a nar, not only does he care about the way that he looks, but more than that, his father loves him. V'Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol banav ki ben zikunim lo. This Yosef was born to him in his elder years. More than that, v'asalok sones pasim. His father made for him this beautiful, beautiful coat, this colored, beautiful coat. Now, it's not just that this was a special, beautiful coat that his father made for him. Clearly, it had a lot more value than simply keeping him warm. But this was a sign of Yaakov almost choosing Yosef as the son of all sons, as the unique, as the precious, as the prized son. Now, of course, with that comes a lot of distaste and a lot of disfavor in the eyes of his brothers. And in Pasuk Dalet tells us, Vayirechav ki oso havaviyem. They saw that their father Yaakov loved this young boy, Yosef, mikol echav, more than all of his brothers. Vayisnu oso. V'lo yachlu darbu l'shom. They hated him. They didn't dislike him. Vayisnu means they hated him. That's a very powerful word that the Torah is using, right? No whitewashing. The Torah tells us that the brothers absolutely hated him. V'lo yachlo dabro l'shalom. They were unable to speak to him passively. They were unable to speak to him peaceably. Those were not possibilities. So here you have setting the scene in Parshas Vayeshev. This young boy, 17-year-old teenager, very good-looking seemingly, very focused on himself. His father loves him, seemingly has everything made, but there's one problem. This favor that his father gives him seems to create a sense of disharmony, discord, sibling rivalry is at its best. That's the setup, and that's the background for Yosef ve'echav. Now, in the next series of Psukim, from Pasuk He through Pasuk Yud Aleph, as I always like to do, I'll show you that there's one word that repeats itself 10 times. 10 times. There's one word that repeats itself in a series of about 7 or 8 psukim. And that's the first word in Pasuk He, Vayachalom. Vayachalom Yosef Chalom. Yosef dreamt a dream. And this word Chalom, dream, or dreamer, or dreaming, in all of its different ways, focuses on who Yosef was. Yosef was a dreamer. Yosef was somebody who was dreaming. Vayachalom, chalom, hachalom, chalamti, chalom, chalamti, chalamta. This word repeats itself over and over again. 10 times, I counted last night, in a series of about 7 psukim. Clearly the Torah is focusing in on what was unique about Yosef. And I believe that the na'arus, that the fact that he was a lad, that he was a child, that he was an adolescent, that he was a teenager, the fact that he was so focused on himself and his look and his physical appearance, the fact that his father loved him, allowed him to be a dreamer, to freely say what he wants, think what he wants, imagine what he wants. And this is all part of the Yosef Hanar, Yosef this lad. Now, we all know the dream that Yosef dreamed here, that ultimately it would be that his mother, his father, and everybody would bow down to him. That we know. And it's true that those dreams came to fruition, and they came true. But at the end of the day, there's an element of Yosef here and his dreams and his dreaming that speaks to who he was at that stage of his life. He was a person who didn't really focus so much on the ramifications of what he would do. He wasn't so focused and so concerned on what others would think about him. He wasn't even so focused on the upshot of what people would think of his dreams. He was simply going to say them. Who says that if you have a dream that you have to share it? Now, we know the halachic context to dreams. Certainly when it comes to a dream, so you might have to fast for a dream. You may have to do Hataras Chalom. You may have to just wait for Yom Tov. And in the Birchas Kwanim, you recite the paragraph that we say. Or you may have to do nothing. But I'm not getting into the halachic context of dreams. That's a separate shir. But I'm just trying to focus here on who Yosef was. Yosef was a dreamer. He was a kid. And this very much fits his personality at this stage of his life to dream. Now, although his dreams, as I just noted, will come to fruition, are going to come true later in Parshios Miketz Vayigash, nonetheless, at this point, the Torah tells us that it is a result of him dreaming and sharing his dreams in Pasuk Yural Vayikanu Bo Echav. His brothers not only hated him, Vayisnu also, Vayikanu. They were jealous of him. And only the Aviv Shamar Esadavar, only his father paid heed, paid attention, and understood that there was some truth to the dreams that Yosef was sharing. So this Yosef is certainly starting off on very, very rickety boats, on a very rickety bridge, right? Again, we know his age, we know his looks, We know the types of things that he says and shares. He's not afraid. He's not scared to speak his mind and to say the things that he does. And his brothers are really not in favor of him. They hate him. Vayisnu, vayikanu. They're jealous of him. And he simply shares all of the dreams that he has. And the Torah goes on to tell us that the story continues. And Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, the word that I just focused on that appears 10 times, Vayachalom, Chalom, Chalamti, Chalamta, 10 times in about 6 psukim, appears yet again. His father tells Yosef, who he loves, who he cares about, you know, you're all alone in the house. Your brothers are spending time in Shechem taking care of the sheep. Why don't you go up to meet with them? And what happens? His brother, Yosef, focuses on that which his father says. Says, okay, I'll go to look after my brothers and I'll go to meet up with them. And in Pasuk Tezvav, he travels and he finds this ish, this man, and this man notices that Yosef is missing. And this man asks Yosef, what do you want? What is your request? And in Pasuk Tezayin, Vayomer es achai anochi mevakesh. I'm looking for my brothers. Hagida nileyefu hemroim. Where are they indeed hanging out? Where are they spending their time? And this man tells them, I saw a bunch of men. I think they're traveling to this place called Dosan, which you just mentioned at the beginning of this year. That's where they went to spend some time, in a place called Dosaina. Why don't you run after and try to find them there? And as soon as Yosef finds himself, and as soon as he's seen from far, Uveter Mikrav Aleim Vayisnaklu Oso Lehamiso. At that moment, they approach him, they conspired to kill him. And what do they say? We'll throw him into this pit. And they note, Hine bal hachalomos ba. Here comes this dreamer. And not only do they say, here comes this dreamer, they say, what will be, what will emerge? V'niya mayo chalomosav. What will be of all of his dreams? So this is Yosef the dreamer. Yosef the dreamer gets himself in trouble with his dreams. Although his father holds on to his dreams, his brothers are jealous of him, his brothers hate him, and here is the opportune and the ripe time to kill this young Yosef. Ultimately, they try to kill him. Reuven says, don't kill him, let's throw him into this pit. They throw him into this pit, and we know what happens. One thing leads to another. Yosef emerges from the pit. He's sold from one bandit to a second bandit until he finds himself in Mitzrayim and he's sold and they return to the pit. Yosef is not there. They rip their clothing. They return to their father and their father recognizes that it must be that Yosef indeed was eaten alive by some sort of animal. That's the story. That's the 36 psukim that we find in Perek Lamed Zayin detailing the opening life and times, really, of Yosef, the setting the stage for this sibling rivalry, understanding that Yosef is not going to make it with his brothers. Ultimately, what happens to him is that he's set aside, he's placed separately from the rest of his siblings, and he finds himself in Mitzrayim. That is the opening story. So again, what we really see about this kid, this boy, this teenager, this adolescent Yosef, is this very much self-centered focus on himself. Clearly, he is somebody who is unique, who's special, who his father loves, but that ultimately gets him into a lot of trouble. That's all we know. So here's this guy, Yosef, 17 years old. The only thing we know about him at this point is what the Torah tells us. But as Perek Lamed Ches, as we're familiar with, doesn't deal with Yosef and his brothers at all. It deals with Yehuda, who finds himself separate from his brothers, and the story with Yehuda and Tamar. And if you want to pick up with the story of Yosef, you have to skip chapter 38, Perek Lamed Ches, and we pick up in Perek Lamed Ches, if you have the Stone Chumash, it's on page 212, and Yosef is now in Egypt. Seemingly, Yosef is not much older than he was in the beginning of the parasha. 17 is the age that he was when we started. And seemingly that's the age that he is now. Not so much time has elapsed from the time that the brothers sold him, threw him in the pit, and then he finds himself in Egypt. And Yosef, here he is, just a few, a little bit later, Yosef hurad Mitzrayma, v'yikne'eu Potiphar srisparo sarat tabachim ish mitzrim yad ish melim. And Potiphar purchases this boy, this lad, this kid. And here he is, Yosef, slowly emerges, not surprisingly, Vahi Hashem es Yosef, Vahi ish matzliach. Yosef is successful, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. And Yosef sort of develops and succeeds and rises slowly to a place of prominence in the palace of the king. Surprisingly, in the exile, a young kid, a young child, a Hebrew, a Jew, an Israeli kid, and all of a sudden he seems to be quite successful, so successful that he finds favor in none other than Ashes Potiphar. And the Torah again describes Yosef in Pasuk Zayin, Vayhi Yosef Yifei Soar Yifei Mara, a handsome man, a good-looking fellow, and that's who Yosef is. Now, here's a critical story. This is the second story, right? If you're following the parsha, this is really the second event that we're about to read about Yosef. Now look at this, and this I think is fascinating. It's after these things that Yosef sort of develops and becomes prominent as a young child. And Ashes Potiphar finds favor in the eyes of Yosef and tells him to lie with her. And vayimain. And Yosef refuses. You don't realize, Paro, your husband, has placed me into a position of prominence. There's nobody greater than me. I'm second in command. He hasn't left anything alone, and he just trusts me completely. How can it be that I will sin to my master? Now let me set the stage for you for a moment. Here it is, it's Yosef. Yosef is what? 10 times the Torah tells us he's a dreamer. If there's ever a time that his dreams can get a hold of him, can catch him, can get him into trouble, it's right now. Ashes Potiphar creates an opportunity for him to dream dreams. This is exactly where he is and who he is. He is the ultimate dreamer. Chalom, chalamta, chalamti, bal hachalomos. And here it is that Yosef really can really get himself into trouble. Now I believe what you see now is something phenomenal that takes place, and this is why Yosef at this point earns the title Yosef HaTzadik. Because he takes a midah, he takes a trait of his that is so powerful and that's so strong, and he stifles it. It's the chalomos that gets him into trouble. And it's the dreaming that gets him into trouble. And Yosef recognizes, although he believes in himself, and although his father believes in his dreams, at the end of the day, dreaming got him into trouble. And who says I should share my dreams with other? And therefore, Yosef says, I need to be very careful because I got thrown out of my house, I got thrown into a pit, and I found myself in Egypt. And although the hashkacha has it that I'm supposed to be here, as Yosef will tell his brothers later in Parshios Vayigash and Vayechi, ultimately Yosef recognizes that something's got to give. And take a look in the next pasuk. Vayhi kidabral Yosef yom yom. She continued to seduce Yosef on a daily basis. V'lo shama elea lishkov etzol Yosef, and he refused to lie with her. It was at that moment when Yosef was prepared to lie with her, as Rashi quotes the Gemara. He was about to sin, he entered her house. There was nobody home. And it was at that moment, she caught hold of his garments and said, lie with me. And Yosef runs away. Recognize Yosef's power and Yosef's ability to stand strong to a person who was a dreamer, who could have dreamed dreams about Ashes Potiphar, and he doesn't do that. He is unable to sin, and that catches him, and he's able to be so strong. What I think happens here is Yosef changes from being a nar, from being a lad, to being an ish, to being an adult. And Yosef recognizes that everything that occurred early in the parsha and in the beginning of his life as a nar, as a 17-year-old, as a teenager, as a kid, as an adolescent, the repercussions and the ramifications of his dreaming sent him away from his brothers. And now the same thing emerges again. If he has a dream and he falls prey to the attack of Ashes Potiphar, he could also get himself into trouble. but it's even deeper than that. Because if you take a look in Rashi, something phenomenal emerges. When Yosef has this opportunity to sin with Eshes Potiphar, you'll take a look and Rashi tells us what happened, what stopped him, how was he able to hold himself back? He also had a dream. He was thinking about who? His father. So Yosef used the same power, the same trait, the same ability that he had to be able to stop himself from sinning using the same thing that got him in trouble. What got him in trouble was dreaming, was imagining, was sharing his dreams with others. Now what he does is he uses his mind, his imagination, and his dreams to change his approach and to protect him. Because he dreams of his father. And he sees, as Rashi says, Dmus Dyukno Shel Aviv. He sees an image of his father. And when he sees the image of his father, that stops him and that holds him back from sinning. And here you see something phenomenal in terms of a human being, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Hatov. There's a very, very similar power that every human being has, spiritual and emotional power, to do good and to sin, to do positive or chalila v'chas, to do something inappropriate. And it depends how you focus that power and that Yetzer. Will the Yetzer go to Tov or will the Yetzer go to Ra? And Yosef HaTzadik learns as he develops and as he grows from a nar, from a lad, to an ish, to know how to use those traits, those kochos, those strengths, the midos that he has properly. So one of the signs of adulthood and maturity, and this you see in only the second story that's told to us about Yosef, is his ability to change his attitude in terms of recognizing that I have to hold myself back. In the opening psukim, in the opening chapter of Parshas Vayeshev, we see Yosef is very self-focused, self-centered. He's worried about his dress. He's worried about his physical appearance. He's worried about himself. He doesn't care what the ramifications, the repercussions of what he says and what he does will do. He tattletales. He tells on his brothers. He's not concerned about them, but he learns that there are serious repercussions to doing that. And here that changes. I can't be so self-focused. I'm not just going to care about my own physical pleasure. Yes, I'm attractive. Yes, I'm handsome and I'm good looking. And I could have dreamed a dream about being with this Eshes Potiphar. But Yosef is able to hold himself back and is able to suppress everything that he had struggled with in the beginning of the parsha to change him to be a ish. He's no longer a nar. And note, as I focused, that he's no different in age. Age-wise, he's the same 17-year-old kid. It's the same year, it's the same months that's taking place. He was just sold from the pit to the Ishmaelim to the Mitzvah. So we're talking a matter of months, not so much time. The Torah doesn't tell us that there's a different age. But the focus is that Yosef has changed from a nar to being an ish. And we watch Yosef's development and of developing from somebody who is able to not just use their midos and their traits and their talents in one direction, but to use the very same trait to flip it and to work with it positively. That's story number two. There's only one more story about Yosef in this week's Parsha. And that is the end of Parsha's Vayeshev. That's chapter 40, Perek Mem. And here Yosef finds himself in jail. Now, why does Yosef find himself in jail? Because he was running away from Eshes Potiphar, doing the right thing. And of course, she flipped the story on him. And she says that this young boy was trying to seduce her. And ultimately, Paro hears about this. And Paro places Yosef into jail. And we'll get back to that in a little bit as well. So here it is that Yosef's in jail. And what happens when Yosef's in jail? Somebody else has a dream. The Sar HaTabachim and the Sar HaOfim, the chief chamberlain and the chief baker, each have dreams. And let's think this through, right? We go through a parsha of Chalomos. The parsha starts with Yosef's dreams, sharing his dreams. And now the end of the parsha talks about Yosef's revelation and ability to unravel others' dreams. And let's understand the significance of that. Perek Mem. Vayi achar hadvarim ha'ela. After these matters, meaning after the matters of Yosef and Eshes Potiphar, the cupbearer, the baker, transgressed. They sinned against the Melech Mitzrayim, against Paro. Vayiktsov Paro al Shnei Sarisov al Shahasar Hamashkim v'Asar Tabachim. Paro is angered, is upset as a result of what they did, and they're thrown into Mishmar, they're thrown into jail. And not surprisingly, they have a dream. As I just noted, v'yachalmu chalom shneim ish chalomo b'layla echad, ish kepisron chalomo hamashke v'haofer shalomelach mitzrayim asher asumi beis asar. They both dream a dream. So dreams is certainly the focus of Parshas Vayeshev, the beginning of the Parsha and the end of the Parsha. But now take a look. There's something that changes in terms of the dreams from the beginning of the Parsha to the dreams of the end of the Parsha. Yosef is in jail. And of course, not by chance, he finds himself in jail, both with the Sar HaOfim and the Sar HaMashkim. And Yosef sees these two gentlemen, and sees them, and asks them, Madua Pneichem Ro'im Ayom, Pasuk Zayin, Barak Mem, Pasuk Zayin, asks them, why are you down? Why are you sad? Why are you melancholy? What's the problem? What's taking place? Vayom Re'lov, and the words repeat themselves again. Chalom Chalamnu. Right? The same words we saw at the beginning of the Parsha. Chalom Chalamnu Uposer Eino. So we have dreamt a dream, and we have nobody to reconcile, to unravel, to explain to us the dream. And how does Yosef respond? Vayom Re'lem Yosef, Halo Le'lokim Pisronim Sapruna Eli. God reveals dreams. God is the one who explains dreams. Please tell them to me. And here Yosef asks them to share their dreams with him. And I think again you see a third trait of Yosef in his development, going from a nar to an ish. And what happens here? Yosef has a koach. Yosef has an ability. Yosef has a certain strength, an uncanny ability to be a dreamer. And being a dreamer has extraordinary power, and it has extraordinary danger. And we all know the danger that Yosef got himself into in the beginning of the Parsha with his dreams. However, Yosef develops and uses the koach, the power of being a dreamer, to hold himself back, to protect himself against Eshes Potiphar, because as opposed to dreaming things that are going to be problematic and troublesome, he uses his imagination to protect himself and to think of his father Yaakov. Now is the third step. Do you know what Yosef does with his dreams? He helps somebody else. He helps somebody else. He's able to help the chamberlain and the cupbearer. He's able to help the Sar HaOfim and the Sar HaMashkim, to help them and to share with them the meaning of their dreams. Growth, gadlus, development from being a nar, from being a lad, from being a 17-year-old, changes when you're able now to focus not on just yourself, as Yosef was at the beginning of the Parsha, just caring about his physical appearance, yafei toar v'yafei mare, but uses his ability now to be a dreamer to help other people. It's not just that he's going to use his kochos, his imagination, to help himself and to set himself up, you know, without any thought, concern about how it's going to impact others. But instead, Yosef uses his power, his ability, to help these other individuals who are also stuck with him. And indeed, Yosef unravels their dream. Yosef's revelation and the way he foretells, foreshadows, explains the dream is exactly what takes place. What Yosef tells is going to happen to the Sar HaMashkim happens. What's going to happen to the Sar HaOfim happens as well. And here you see the development, in short, of a kid, of a lad, of an adolescent, of a 17-year-old, developing slowly from being self-centered, self-focused, only caring and concerned about himself, to using that trait of being a Bal HaChalomos, being a dreamer, to protect him, to save him, and then finally using that same power, that same koach, to help others. That, I think, is the sweeping view of Parshas Vayeshev, and of course the word Chalom, Chalomos, Chalamti, Chalamta, being the focus, that's who Yosef is. Yosef is this dreamer. And as I mentioned in the Drasha, on Thursday, of course, this is going to be something that's not just going to stop here in Parshas Vayeshev, but dreams are going to continue to be the focus of the end of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Miketz and Vayigash, because immediately at the beginning of next week's Parsha, Parshas Miketz, what's the word that repeats itself again? Vahi Miketz Shnasayim Yamimu Paro Choleim. Paro now dreams. And what's going to happen? Yosef HaTzadik again is going to use his talent, his traits, to unravel Paro's dreams. And dreams take us from Vayeshev to Miketz. And of course, Yosef the dreamer uses this ability, this uncanny strength that he has to lift himself up out of the boar, to remove himself out of the dungeon, to be forthshadowing and to thinking forward, to making sure that not just to focus on the here and now, that there's a years of sova, that there are years of tremendous bounty, but we have to look forward, we have to dream about what's next. There are going to be Yemei HaRazam. That is Yosef the dreamer, that's Yosef the Baal HaChalomos, and that's Yosef's development. But I want to go back to each of these three stories now and show you another commonality that exists in Yosef the dreamer, and how the dreams, and how the revelation, and how the reconciliation, and how the unraveling of Yosef's dreams also impacts him as well. If you go back to Perek Lamed Zayin, the opening of Parshas Vayeshev, as we showed, Yosef is the son who finds favor in his father's eyes. His father Yaakov is in love with him. Yisrael Ahaves Yosef, right? We're not holding back at all here. It's very clear, the words that are being used, the adjectives that are being used to explain Yosef and to explain his father are very, very clear. Ahav, sana, vayikanu, right? We're not holding anything back. Yaakov simply loves Yosef. He's in love with Yosef. Tipen zikunim lo. He's this child who's born to him in his elder years. He gives him the ksonas pasim. But take a look at what happens when you're so successful, when you're so good-looking, when your father loves you so much, Yosef gets kicked out of the house. And that's always something that you have to watch in general, and you have to see as well in the Parsha. Yosef is so beloved. He's so popular with his father. He's so successful that his success gets him into enormous trouble. And Yosef doesn't see any sense of holding himself back because he's so loved. My father loves me. I'm so good looking. I'm 17 years old. The world is all about me. He doesn't recognize what could happen. There are repercussions and the ramifications. And he just lets himself out. He's unbridled. There's no stopping him. But what stops him is that his brothers hate him. What stops him is that his brothers are jealous of him. He gets kicked out and thrown out of the house. So Yosef starts his young adulthood, his teenage years, being very popular, being successful, but being thrown out of the house. Take a look at the second story that we focused on, and you'll see the same formula and the same theme. Immediately when we're introduced to Yosef as he gets to Egypt, in Perek Lamedes, Yosef is sent to Mitzrayim. What's the first thing we're told about Yosef in Mitzrayim? Perek Lamites Parak Pasuk Beis, Vahi Hashem es Yosef, Vahi Ish Matzliach. Yosef is successful. He's always doing well. He's always a success story. The perfect kid at 17 years old, his father loves him. He's beloved. His father gives him whatever he wants. He has the most beautiful coat. But he gets in trouble. But then in the workforce, he enters Egypt. He is seemingly the most successful young entrepreneur. Vayhi Hashem es Yosef, vayhi ish matzliach, vayimtza Yosef chein beinav. Everybody loves Yosef. He's popular. He's successful. Vayishares oso. And they look after him. Vayifkidei al beis v'chol yesh lo nosam b'yado. Everything that he wants, he gets, he receives. Vayivorech Hashem es beis ha-mitzri b'glal Yosef. The house of Mitzrayim is blessed because of Yosef. Vahi birchas Hashem b'chol asher yesh lo b'bayis u'basada. Yosef is in charge. Yosef's the boss. He's the second in command. Just like in the first story, when he was a 17-year-old in the house of his father, he's the most successful, the most beloved, the most cherished, the most prized. The same thing happens again. As soon as he gets to Egypt, Paro chooses Yosef, the most successful, the most beloved, the most cherished, the most prized. Everybody dotes over him and serves him. But you know what happens? His success also leads to a potential trouble. Because when Ashes Potiphar sees him, she also is focused on him. And just like the brothers tried to get Yosef in trouble because he was so successful, the person closest to Paro, his wife, also becomes jealous of Yosef and tries to get him in trouble. And Yosef now is the apple of her eye, but the apple of her eye with a twist. And again, what happens when Yosef is so successful? Where does he find himself? Kicked out again. Just like he got kicked out of his father's house because he was so popular and so successful, so too again here, he's so successful and so popular in the house of the king that the king's wife tries to seduce him, and ultimately Yosef gets thrown out again. And if you follow the third story that we focused on, again, the same thing happens on Perek Mem. He finds himself revealing a dream to the head of the bakery, to the head of the chamberlains. And again, Yosef dreams a dream and helps them unravel their dream. But Yosef, at the end of the parsha, says, do me a favor, don't forget about me. V'hiz kartani, because when you get out of jail, don't forget me over here. And it's that gets Yosef in trouble again, because what happens, the last pasuk in the entire parsha, v'lo zochar sar hamashkim es Yosef, the sar hamashkim, the head chamberlain of the cupbearers, forgets Yosef, v'yishka chehu. And each time Yosef rises to a place of prominence, a place of success, the highest place in his father's house, the highest place in the house of the king, the highest place in jail, the warden looks after him. Everybody knows that there's something about this Yosef. Also, Yosef remains behind in jail an extra 2 years, Rashi says, as a punishment for only focusing on the Sar HaMashkim to allow him to come free. So here you have another sweeping commonality between Yosef. Yes, Yosef is the dreamer. Yosef develops and he grows from being a nar to being an ish, to controlling himself, ultimately to helping others at the end of the parsha. But at the same time, we see with Yosef, with his success comes enormous, enormous challenges. We often find this, that a person who is so successful, a person who has no checks and balances, that person ultimately gets into the ultimate trouble when a person is so autonomous and is so successful, you don't hear and you don't focus on those around you. But there's something else that takes place in the life of Yosef. And you see this change as well from the first story to the second story to the third story. And this is where Yosef emerges prominently and differently. And the Ramban Nachmanides makes this point in the second story. Yosef, every time he's asked, who are you? What are you about? How are you going to be able to figure out these dreams? What does Yosef say? Yosef says, Elokim Pisronim. God is the revealer of all dreams. God is the one who helps me. And that's a very significant parting from what takes place from story number one to story number two to story number three. In story number one, as we've mentioned, it's only self-centered. It's only self-focused. It's only my physical appearance and just sharing with the world whatever I think. But in story two, that changes. As Yosef begins to recognize that traits, talents, gifts that I've been given, they're not about me. I had nothing to do with them. Right? A 17-year-old kid doesn't necessarily recognize that. When they're talented in certain areas, it's hard simply just to focus and to recognize and to know that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has given me that talent. But it's only when Yosef recognizes who he is and what he's about and understands that he has a particular talent and a koach and traits that are unique and that are special and that he is this Bala Chalomos, that in story number two and in story number three, we begin to see Yosef emerge as a godly person, as somebody who recognizes that I have to do something with the power, with the kochos that I have. And in story number two, he uses it to protect himself and to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, earning the title of tzaddik. And in story number three, when he speaks to the Sar HaMashkim and to the Sar Ofim, he tells them, it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. What a drastic change from Yosef, from the beginning of the Parsha to the end of the Parsha. The Chalomos in the beginning of the Parsha all about him. The Chalomos at the end of the Parsha all about the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar Ofim and helping them. And not only helping them because of who he is, but helping them because he knows where these dreams are coming from. So what I think in totality emerges from Parshas Vayeshev are two very significant things when you study the life and times of the young man Yosef. Number one is recognizing that a talent, a trait, a quality that we have can be used l'tov u'l'ra. It could be used as the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. There's enormous potential, right, with talents that we have to help others or to insult others. It's true with all physicalities and everything that we have. What are you going to do with it? You could get yourself in trouble with money, or you could help people with money. You could get yourself in trouble with your looks, or you could focus differently on them. There's so much that a human being can do with the traits and the talents that we've been given. And Yosef amazingly is able to focus and to channel the traits, the talents that he has from a youngster, from a teenager, from an adolescent, to develop it and to grow it and to use it properly. Not just to focus on me, but to use it to help me and to use it to help others. That's number one. Number two is recognizing that with every great trait comes potential threats and challenges. Money is a great help, and money can be a great challenge. Looks can be a great help, but it could also be a great challenge. And Yosef recognizes this, because every time he's successful, he gets in trouble. Not because of him. He didn't even do anything wrong necessarily. Right? He gets thrown out of the house. There he learned himself a lesson that I have to protect myself and use my talents properly. But when the second time, in the second story, what did he do wrong? He was being a tzaddik. He helped himself. He protected himself. And nonetheless, he still finds himself in jail. And ultimately, the third time, when he revealed these dreams, he should have not just focused on the Sar HaMashkim allowing him the license to leave jail, but should have also understood that it has to be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately being the ultimate person, God, to be able to release HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So using the talents and traits that we have, focusing them properly, and also honing in and recognizing that the traits that we have can help grow and can develop, but at the same time can be a source of enormous Achilles heel and enormous challenges, and recognizing to protect ourselves as well. This is the story of Yosef, at least in the early years of Yosef. These are the three stories that we see in Parshas Vayeshev. Young Yosef, the dreamer. Yosef, the dreamer, and how he is saved, protects himself from Eishes Potiphar. And then Yosef revealing and unraveling the dreams of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim. Yosef's focus on himself, and how Yosef develops, slowly maturing to become no longer a nar, as Pasuk Beis focuses in the beginning of Parsha, but developing to be an ish. A lot to learn from Yosef, a lot to think about. Bezus Hashem, wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.